It is News with Nick, June 16th, 2021. Welcome back. It's the June episode of the show. I've been doing about, maybe we shoot for once every 2-3 weeks, but we never get that. So it's once every, like, month now. It's just the monthly news show. I mean, that's more regular than the full moon. That's not true at all. That's actually the complete opposite of truth. Head on over to the website, newswithnick.com, and type in your phone number in the top right corner, and you'll get text messages every day that there's a new show coming out. If you want to watch the video version of the show, go to the website and click on the episodes page, and you can watch the video unedited video version of the show. Wait, are we recording? Yes, we are. Cool. If you want to watch me as a child go-karting, go to the website and click on Nick's YouTube and then scroll until you see me as a child go-karting. All right, since the last episode, we had the 2021 San Jose shooting. I don't know much about this, so we're going to read some information. May 26, 2021, a mass shooting occurred at the... Hello? Oh, my headset just went out. Oh, boy, we're not... Hang on. We're not doing good today. The audio, the recording was not affected. All right, let's try that again. On May 26, 2021, a mass shooting occurred at the Santa Clara Valley Transportation Authority, otherwise known as the VTA rail yard in San Jose, California. 10 people were killed during the shooting, including the gunman, identified as 57-year-old VTA employee Samuel James Cassidy, who committed suicide. It is the deadliest mass shooting in the history of the San Francisco Bay Area. The gunman left his house at 5:39 a.m. the day of the shooting, after having set it on fire. That seems like a very minor detail to be saying so nonchalantly. Oh, he left his house. It was on fire. No one was inside the residence at the time. According to the police, he coordinated the fire with the shooting and ignited it by placing ammunition inside a pot on his stove. Wow. How would you know to do that? So you're saying if you put bullets in a pot and turn it on like spaghetti, then you get a fire? Because if so, I could have used this information at some former residences. Oh, wait, hang on. He put ammunition inside the pot on a stove, surrounded the pot with accelerants, and then turning on the stove. So I wonder if he knew exactly how many minutes it would take to burn, or he's like, it'll probably take 10 to 15 to come to a boil. At 6:33 a.m., the San Jose Fire Department received a call to respond to the facility, though the first caller did not mention anything about an active shooter incident, according to this dispatch audio. A minute later, Santa Clara County authorities received 911 calls about shots being fired at the facility. Sheriff's deputies and police responded from their nearby office. When they arrived at 6:35 a.m., literally 2 minutes later after the call, they found multiple people shot. This guy did not... I mean, you read these shootings, Columbine had approximately 200 minutes, something like that. This guy's got two. When they arrived at 6:35 a.m., they found multiple people shot. The shooting occurred in two separate buildings at the maintenance yard during the busiest time of the day, a shift change in which employees from the overnight and morning shifts overlapped. Over 100 people were at the facility at the time of the shooting, according to the sheriff. The shooting began in a conference room in Building B on the western side of the yard during a power crew meeting. The gunman then walked over to Building A on the eastern side, where he continued firing. Police and witnesses said the gunman later targeted some of his victims and spared others from being shot. At 6:36 a.m., the fire at the gunman's house was reported by a passerby, and then 2 minutes later, the fire department responded to that house. All right. So, let's see. According to the sheriff, at 6:43 a.m., officers found the gunman who'd killed himself on the third floor of Building A as they were closing in. According to the sheriff, on June 1st, the gunman first shot and injured himself. Ooh. Oh, man. That's like, you don't want that outcome. Like, I'm going to end it. Oh, I'm only hurt. And then fatally shot himself in the side of the head. Yikes, Aroni. So this was, it says they got a call and then 2 minutes later got there. But it, and then it also says the shooting was in multiple different locations. So maybe they were just very slow to get to the phone. Let's see what we have information as far as Fox News is saying.
At the top of the show, I mentioned it. Authorities in San Jose, California, looking for a motive tonight for a shooting at a mass transit rail yard that left eight people and the shooter dead. Officials have confirmed the gunman was an employee of the Valley Transportation Authority and that he took his own life. But what set him off remains a mystery tonight. Senior correspondent Claudia Cowan is in San Jose right now. Good evening, Claudia.
Is this... Oh, that is coming through.
Good evening to you, Brett. Tonight, investigators are combing through two crime scenes, the light rail maintenance facility a few blocks behind me where that gunman opened fire early this morning.
Oops.
And also the suspect's house about 8 miles away from here, which went up in flames right around the very same time. Now, reports of shots fired began coming in just after 6:30 local time at the Valley Transportation Authority, or VTA, which is right next to the county sheriff's department and jail.
All right, this video is not giving us very much info. Let's skip ahead and see if there's anything else.
What's going on in the United States of America? What the hell's wrong with us? And when are we going to come to grips with this?
Oh, it's just that guy from going to dinner, Gavin Newsom. The San Jose gunman was to attend disciplinary hearings over racist remarks on the day of the shooting, said a report. Cassidy appeared to be a highly disgruntled VTA employee for many years, which may have contributed to why he targeted VTA employees. For many years, so he comes in every single day. He's like, I'm so disgruntled one of these days. Like, man, that Cassidy guy, he comes in and he's pretty disgruntled most days. 5 years ago, Cassidy was detained by U.S. Customs and Border personnel over some suspicious writing in his possession as he returned from a trip to the Philippines. Authorities found him to be carrying books about terrorism and notes about how much he hated the VTA. According to a Department of Homeland Security memo, Customs and Border Protection officials reportedly found a black memo book filled with lots of notes of how he hates the VTA. His baggage and electronic media were also inspected. Cassidy allegedly bragged about having guns and explosives, but it was unclear if that information was meant to be part of Wednesday's Skelly hearing, what? Which was to precede any potential discipline or termination. All right, so he'd had enough of work, and he was like, done with this. I am out of here, and so are 10 of you. And that appears to be that. Unless we got our hands on that book where he says how much he hates the VTA, I'm not sure we're going to get much more information. Connecticut teen speaks out after being target of a racist Snapchat post.
Making the situation even worse, the family says a sibling was also singled out for racial harassment in a separate incident. Here's Eyewitness News reporter Marcus Solis.
I was like, oh my God. It just, like, you know, my mouth just dropped.
I had no words for when I saw it. I was just so confused, Jamar Medor said. The 16-year-old says that the shock still hasn't worn off, and it's understandable why. He's shown circled in a photo taken by a classmate who posted it to Snapchat, calling Medor the N-word, along with the question, why is he not in chains? I was like, oh my God, my mouth just dropped because I couldn't believe it, how the other student would do something like this regarding my son. Jamar's mother, Judith Medor, said. All right, let's hear from the mother.
Oh my God. It just, like, you know, my mouth just dropped.
It is a jaw-dropping message of hate. The N-word used to describe a black student.
What? Why would someone do this? Okay. So the kid's sitting in class. He takes a photo on his phone and he says, why is there a N in my homeroom? Why is he not in chains? Did you even put him in chains that often?
Asking, why is he not in chains? The image was posted to Snapchat last Friday by a classmate of Jamar Medor.
I have, like, no words. Like, I'm speechless. Kind of mad and upset. And
this guy has a very deep voice.
Kind of sad, too.
Jamar.
Chocolate rain.
Is a 10th grader at Fairfield Ward High School. His brother is a 9th grader who had racist comments directed at him in a FaceTime call the very next day.
What?
I don't know how they find out about his phone number. So I was like, oh my God, what is going on in Fairfield now?
Police have charged the 16-year-old who posted the message with breach of peace and racial harassment. Multiple students have been suspended. Jamar's mother is demanding expulsion.
I don't know how what he's going to do to my son.
So is this a school that has no other black people? Because otherwise, why would this guy and the kid only get harassed? Over 24,000 people, nearly 1,000 from Fairfield, have signed an online petition calling for the student's removal, which must be the kid who did the Snapchat. As for Jamar, a member of the basketball team who says he's never experienced racism in school before, things are different. I just don't feel comfortable going to school or walking the halls, so I stayed home today, actually, Medor said. I don't know. Things are getting really weird. This didn't happen. I think I've told everyone several times, well, I don't know. I never went to school in Connecticut. I only went to school in New Hampshire. Were there any black people? Yes. Was it only one family and it was the brother and the sister? Also, yes. But it was never like, it's the black people. Or it was never like, we got to make fun of them. There was the incident with the hat in the urinal, but that was unrelated to Gary being black. Because we didn't know. But nowadays, it's like a black person shows up and then they just show up on Snapchat. I don't get it. People seem to be making more of a deal. Oh, you're black? I'll point it out. Before it was just like, oh, yeah, there's two black kids. Who cares? I don't know. Exciting news, though. We got another, I'll show you Iran and Iraq moment. Delta Airlines on Saturday identified an unruly passenger on Friday night from Los Angeles to Atlanta as an off-duty flight attendant. The Iran and Iraq moment refers to when passengers have to restrain a crew member. That's an Iran and Iraq moment. Cell phone video shows passengers on top of the person reveals a voice on the plane's public address system. This is the captain speaking. We'd like all strong males to the front of the aircraft to handle a problem passenger. Now, technically, it wasn't a crew member because she was off duty, but whatever. Close enough. There's no audio.
Delta flight 1730 Friday night. The pilot turning to passengers for help during the cross-country trip from Los Angeles to Atlanta.
We'd like all strong males to the front of the aircraft to handle the problem passenger.
Girls are like, phew, not me. All strong males. What if there's a secret female ninja on the plane? What if the captain needed to be like, are there any ninjas or taekwondo artists on the plane? We're going to need someone stat. All strong males get to the front. And all the guys are like, I'm the strongest. Go.
Moments earlier, the unruly passenger, an off-duty Delta flight attendant, yelling and struggling with others mid-flight next to the cabin door.
Everyone was completely shaken up. They were screaming. People thought when they said the oxygen mask, people thought our plane was like going down. It was extremely scary.
Delta Airlines stating the flight diverted to Oklahoma City. The aircraft landed without incident and the passenger was removed by law enforcement. The incident comes as the TSA set a new pandemic record, clearing more than 2 million passengers on Friday. Just weeks ago, the FAA...
All right. So last show, there's not much Iran and Iraq about that one. No good interviews. Just like... We thought we were going to go down. Someone pulled the oxygen masks. Now, wait, did he say someone released the oxygen masks? I didn't even know that was a button. I mean, I guess logically there would be a button, but why would someone press the oxygen mask button just because there's an unruly passenger? I don't know. Last show, I referenced Molly Tibbetts' trial and murder trial, right? She's accused of murdering a driver, went by. And I didn't even realize that the trial was like going on while I did the show. More witnesses will take stand Thursday, this is old news, in the murder trial of Kristen Bahena Rivera. Bahena Rivera is charged with first-degree murder in the 2018 death of Molly Tibbetts. Of course, we were doing the show back then, too, and we covered it. As it happened when the police went to this pig farmer's house and like, pig farmer, you're basically the only guy that lives around here and you're kind of old and maybe you look creepy. It was definitely you, right? And the pig farmer was like, wasn't me. They were like, can we search your property? He was like, fine. Like, it was definitely you. We're going to find Molly on your property, or you fed her to the pigs. He was like, wasn't me. You can search all you want. Nobody remembers that part of the story. And then 2 days later, they were like, oh, actually, we found the murderer. It wasn't the pig farmer. But this pig farmer guy, people were pissed at, in YouTube comments at least. And that's definitely real life. Pamela Romano, an Iowa City police officer at the time of the investigation, took the stand to testify for her involvement in the interview with Bahena Rivera. Since Romano's first language is Spanish, she was called in to assist with the investigation since Bahena Rivera only spoke Spanish. Pointed this out also. Nah. Romano testified that he comprehended her. She comprehended him in their conversation. He was friendly. We had a very friendly conversation. I thought so. We were very immersed in the conversation, very engaged, Romero said. Rivera told Romero during their interview that he used the Nissan Altima on gravel roads, blah, 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 blah. When initially in the interview room, Romero showed Bahena. I'm getting confused. Romero showed Rivera. Rivera's the murder guy. Rivera's the murder guy. Romero is the interviewer. Romero showed Rivera pictures of the vehicle from 3 security videos. We should just call him Bahena, because that's his first name. Bahena, or is it his last name? Or is it his... Is his total last name Bahena Rivera? Oh, yeah. Oh, who knows? He's Spanish, so his name's different. Bahena Rivera told her it was his car, and he was alone in the car at the time of the photos. Romero showed the photograph of the security camera catching a jogger, but the gender of the jogger is unidentified. When showed the image, Bahena Rivera referred to the jogger as a female. Aha! Checkmate, Bahena Rivera! We never said that was a female, and recalled seeing her that day. He then told Romero he thought he saw the jogger 3 times. Oh, my goodness. So you're in the interview room being interviewed for the murder of a person. And then you go, oh, yeah, I saw her 3 times. The investigators and Bahena Rivera then went to Bahena Rivera. I missed the most important line here. Bahena Rivera told Romero that he thought she was attractive and hot. Investigators in Bahena Rivera then went to 2478, blah, 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 blah. Authorities located Tibbetts' body in the cornfield. Once they were inside, Romero provided Bahena Rivera with his Miranda rights, and he waived them. He testified that he had seen Tibbetts 3 times and followed her with the vehicle, parked at the vehicle, got out jogging up to her. He told the investigator that she tried to take out her phone and call the police, and then he got mad. He told the investigator that Tibbetts slapped him, began screaming at him, and a fight ensued. He said when he gets mad, he blacks out, and the next thing he remembered was driving and looking down to see headphones on his legs. He remembered Tibbetts in the back of the vehicle. Well, Christian Bahena Rivera found guilty of first-degree murder in the Molly Tibbetts killing. So that is what happened. Basically, I don't think he took the stand or anything. Went off the investigator's interview, which maybe one day we're going to have one of those true crime videos where they release the footage, but it's all going to be in Spanish. So, I don't know. We're going to need a translator for News with Nick when we watch that video. But he was like, I did it. And so they went to trial and they were like, he said he did it. And the people on the trial were like, I guess he did it. Next story, a Texas neo-Nazi was arrested for planning mass shooting at Walmart. The Kerr County Sheriff's Office has released a press release on their Facebook page. I went to the news and I was like, oh, it looks like they've released a press release according to this link. So I just clicked the link and what it takes me to facebook.com/police or whatever. Stay vigilant, Kerr County. Our office, other local law enforcement departments, and federal law enforcement work every day to keep our community safe. You can help by always being aware. If you see something, say something. KCSO disrupts plan for mass casualty event. why do I even do any hobby that requires me speaking into a microphone and not slurring my words? I don't know. I would simultaneously say, why does anyone listen to this? But I actually have the numbers for the show, and it is zero listeners. So that part is answered. During an operation evolving over the past 7 days, the KCSO Special Operations Division, along with Texas Department of blah, 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 we found a Kerrville man who is believed to be a threat to national security. Coleman Thomas Blevins, age 28, of Kerrville, was arrested by the KCSO Special Operations Division on a warrant for terroristic threat to create public fear of serious bodily injury. Through the period of investigation, the investigators made contact and conversed with Mr. Blevins, confirming his affiliation and networking with extremist ideologies. On May 27th, I don't even know how you network with an extremist ideology, because they're banned from Facebook and they're not allowed on Pinterest or Instagram either. On May 27th, the division intercepted a message indicating that Blevins was preparing to proceed with a mass shooting. In the message, Mr. Blevins made a specific threat that included Walmart. Working with the FBI, KCSO investigators confirmed Mr. Blevins' capability of following through with the threat and moved immediately to arrest him. After the arrest, a search warrant of Mr. Blevins' residence found firearms in that warrant service. Oh, serving the warrant. Firearms, ammunition, electronic evidence, concentrated THC, and radical ideology paraphernalia, including books, flags, and handwritten documents were seized. Mr. Blevins is currently on active felony probation and is prohibited from possessing firearms. Mr. Blevins was subsequently booked in the blah, 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 blah. The sheriff says, this case reminds us that we need to always be vigilant. Many think that that can't happen here, and it was well on the way to happening, said Sheriff Larry Latha. Our investigators did outstanding work in the case and possibly saved many lives. The plot interrupted in this case is unthinkable. Okay. He was going to go to Walmart. That's not that bad. Why? If you're a terrorist and you're an extremist, you're like, all right, I'm real mad. What's the most damage I can do? Okay. I'm going to go to Walmart. Why? You know, probably half the people in Walmart have a gun anyway. That is not a smart thing to do. So, that guy's arrested. That was one of the side notes. All right. All right, we're going to get into some of the, oh wait, hang on. What's this? I just threw this in the middle here. Anyway. Oh, so I was driving home the other day, probably like last week or so, from across the state, and come up upon this scene in the road, and there's an ambulance, there's a bike on the ground, and I go, oh no, not again. No dump trucks though this time, but I do drive by, and I see the paramedic standing outside the ambulance, and he's hunched over a guy who's just laying there, and I'm like, that guy's dead. And he was. Eric Wheeler passed away Sunday, June 6th while on a bicycle ride. One of his life's passions, I found in the newspaper. So I basically went by basically a pre-funeral, I guess. It wasn't really an open casket. It was more like a, here's the body. It's out for viewing, like unintentionally. Oh my goodness, I'm the meanest person. I hope nobody knows this guy. Anyway, I felt really bad. That's such a scary thing. And then I found his, like he has family. It says who in the obituary has family. And I saw that the kids had linked the obituary on their Facebook. And I kind of want to be like, hi, I'm sorry for your loss. Biking's cool. No, I guess you can't. You can't. There's nothing to say. I guess you could say, hey, you don't know me, but I happened to see your dad die. No, wait, I don't know how you would word such a thing. Man, I'm so awkward. So anyway, but I was thinking about that guy for like every day for a week and a half until I finally found out, like, I was like, because I wasn't sure. Maybe it was going to be like the dump truck incident where I was 100% sure a kid's head was crushed under a dump truck, and I find out later, no, he lived. So I thought there was a chance that this guy had lived, but I looked over, he did not look very, he did not look very alive at the time, and apparently he was not. So that's unfortunate, and never really seen a situation like that before. We just go, oh, hello, unintentionally open casket. A teen who pushed an old man into Mercy says everyone makes mistakes. What is Mercy? This is from LiverpoolNews.com or whatever. A teenage boy who karate-style flying-kicked a 74-year-old man into the River Mercy said he is sorry for his behavior. Benjamin Bridgman. Of course. If your name is Bridgman, you're always near a river or a bridge. Recorded a video apology outside the court after pleading guilty to assaulting the man on May 25th. So this is a little bit of old news, I guess. Feels like the article just came out. Obviously, I'm very sorry. You know, it wasn't supposed to happen. I didn't realize he was 74 years old. Obviously, everyone makes mistakes in life. Do you know what I mean? That's the honest truth from the bottom of my heart. There's not much I can say. So the video here is of a kid, or at least a screenshot of the video, is of a kid walking up behind an old man and kicking him, apparently, into a river. Now, what did the kid think? That this was like some other kid? Did he think it was a rival gang because he's wearing a hoodie? And the kid walked up to him and was like, hey, do you bang? And the old guy was like, what? And he's like, all right, you're going in the river. See if we can play the video of his apology.
And yeah, man, I was doing that as move forward. Obviously, everyone makes mistakes in life. Do you know what I mean? That's honest truth from the bottom of my heart. But yeah, it's not much I can say.
For me, I want the elderly gentleman to get better because my son's not a rogue. It was something that he did stupidly.
Yeah.
Hearing from the mom again.
Minute, and nobody wants the fella to, what's the word, suffer. So for me, all I want is for that man to just get his life back, because it shouldn't have happened. He's well in the wrong, and he knows he's in the wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Hey, you know what I want to say, yeah? Free the guys. I'm sorry, yeah? It is what it is, but free the guys 100 times. Home soon. Back in court in 3 weeks, so everyone will see me get sentenced then, which is, I know everybody, that's what everybody wants. So you'll see me do my time, which I deserve. And yeah.
What does that mean? Free the guys? Is that British slang that I'm unfamiliar with? Hey, free the guys, free the guys. I don't know. So everyone's sharing this on the internet because it's very annoying for a kid to have kicked an old man into the river. Now, if the old man died, it would have been murder, right? Which makes no sense. Like, if you kick a... if you kick a normal person into the river, yeah, luckily the old man's alive, then that person swims out and has no injuries. You're like, ah, jerk, why'd you just push me in the river? Oh, now I'm wet and I have to ride in my car wet. But you push an old person into the river and they die, that's murder. The same act is punished differently depending on what happens. I don't think so. Like, what if I was, let's see. Yeah, what if I was on the beach playing Frisbee, right? And a Frisbee slips from my hand and hits an old man right in the temple and he's dead. Am I going to jail for homicide? Probably not, because that's an accident. But if you threw a Frisbee on an old man and it hit him in the head just right to kill him, probably murder. Even though it was his own fault for having such a soft head. Right? I just thought that was funny. That, you know, if an old person can just fall down and that'll be it. Or if they're biking, I guess. President Biden has announced a national month of action to mobilize an all of America sprint to get as many U.S. adults as possible, at least one shot by July 4th, so that more people can get the protection they need to be safe from the pandemic that has taken the lives of nearly 600,000 Americans. Throughout the month, national organizations, local government leaders, community-based and faith-based partners, businesses, employers, blah, 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 social media influencers, athletes, colleges, young people, and thousands of volunteers across the nation will mobilize to make it easier to get vaccinated and to empower their communities to get vaccinated. The focus of this month is on actions that will make it even easier to get vaccinated. Mobilize the country around vaccine. How could it be even easier than it is? I walk down the street, there's 27 vaccine locations, and there's still like 30 people walking with their masks on outdoors. I'm this close. I'm going to do it for the show. If I see people walking outside with their masks, I'm going to be like, oh my God, you're unvaccinated? There's a place right there. And I'll point to them frantically. I'll be right there. There's a place. Why are you walking with your mask? You're unvaccinated. Get to the place. Thanks to the president's whole of government response, the U.S. has made significant progress in its fight against the pandemic since the president took office less than 5 months ago. More than 63% of adult Americans have already gotten vaccinated, including 73% of Americans age 40 and over. And COVID-19 cases and deaths have plummeted as a result. Cases are down over 90%, and deaths are down over 85% since January 20th. I mean, I get it's political, but it's kind of funny. They're like, it's thanks to Biden, which maybe it is thanks to Biden. I don't know. It's probably just thanks to the vaccine people, right? Remember when Trump was like, in December, he was like, oh no, wait, was it December? No, couldn't have been because he wasn't voted in by then. He's like, there's going to be a vaccine by the end of 2020. And everyone was like, I don't think so. Trump's literally delusional. And then 6 days after the election, they were like, we have a vaccine. And they're like, oh, okay. Thanks to Biden, we're all vaccinated now. So that's happening, but tons of pushback against these vaccines. Right? Nurse uses key in a hairpin to try to prove she is magnetic from the vaccine. A woman who identified herself as a nurse practitioner tried to defend an Ohio doctor's unproven claim by proving she is actually magnetic after receiving the COVID-19 vaccine. So this is the new thing. Apparently you get the vaccine and you become magneto. Joanna Overholt said she previously worked in an intensive care unit and is currently a nurse practitioner student. Spoke during Tuesday's Ohio House Health Committee hearing as a proponent for House Bill 248. What is House Bill 248? Let's find out after we watch this video.
Yes, vaccines do harm people. By the way, so I just found out something when I was on lunch, and I wanted to show it to you. We were talking about...
Wait a minute. I'm sorry that I keep pausing the video to commentate. This is my job. I just found out something while I was on lunch. So she's basically at lunch and someone walks up to her and said, hey, have you heard about the thing with the magnets? In if you have the vaccine, you're magnetic-y.
I just found out something when I was on lunch and I wanted to show it to you. We were talking about Dr. Tenpenny's testimony about magnetic vaccine crystals. So this is what I found out. So I have a key and a bobby pin here.
She stuck the
key
to her chest.
Explain to me why the key sticks to me. It sticks to my neck, too.
She tries to stick it to her neck, and it keeps falling off.
I got this.
Then she switches to the bobby pin.
Can explain this?
And it keeps falling off her neck also. Wait, she finally got it to stick for a half second.
Any questions?
This girl in the background is like, her eyes are like wide.
It sticks to my neck, too.
Even her shirt says, yes, HB 248.
Yeah, so if somebody can explain this, that would be great.
What is House Bill 248? No state university shall require a student to live in on-campus student housing if the student lives within 25 miles of the campus. As used in this section... Oh. Wait, hang on. I'm going to control F this House Bill for the word vaccine. Let's see. It amends section blah, 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 blah. To prohibit mandatory vaccinations, vaccination status disclosure, and certain other actions regarding vaccinations, and to name this act the Vaccine Choice and Anti-Discrimination Act. Okay, so it's a bill in Ohio to ban, I don't know, universities or someone. I don't know. I didn't read the news or anything important from banning people for not having the vaccine. So she just went to lunch. She was like, oh, man, I just learned about this at lunch. Let me test it. Okay. I've learned on Zoom and or Bill Nye that you should probably do your scientific experiments a couple times before you go on TV and try to replicate them, because it didn't work. The bobby pin fell off. So here's another one.
I mean, what is it that's actually being transmitted that's causing all of these things? Is it a combination of the protein, which now we're finding has a metal attached to it? I'm sure you've seen the pictures all over the internet of people who've had these shots, and now they're magnetized. They can put a key on their forehead, it sticks. They can put spoons and forks all over them, and they can stick, because now we think that there's a metal piece to that. There's been people who've long suspected that there was some sort of an interface, yet to be defined, an interface between what's being injected in these shots and all of the 5G towers. Not proven yet, but we're trying to figure out what is it that's being transmitted to these unvaccinated people that are causing health problems.
Well, we don't know, I guess. And I don't know why these people think this. What? There has to be, and I haven't looked into it, maybe I should do this, there has to be some reason people are concerned about the 5G towers with the vaccine. Because I guess it's just funny to make fun of the people saying, they're scared of the 5G, they're scared of the 5G. I don't know what the concern, I don't know what the basis is. So, hey, maybe they'll be right. I don't know. But apparently that lady also heard it on lunch that you can stick forks and spoons to your body. Now, right before the show, I was like, I'm pretty sure I can stick a spoon to my body, right? My chest is fairly puffy and soft, and I can stick stuff to it. So I tried, couldn't stick a spoon or fork to my body until I licked it, right? So you got to make sure you're nervous and sweaty, and then anything will stick to a sweaty body, right? Crazy. So that was the National Month of Action. You guys see the Anthony Fauci emails leaked? 3,200 some pages of Anthony Fauci emails. And I just misused the word. And the Anthony Fauci emails did not leak. Okay? Someone said, hey, can we have those emails? This is a Freedom of Information Act request. And the government was like, sure, take them. They're redacted. Anything good is blacked out. And the conspiracy no new normal community went crazy. They're like, we knew it. Fauci's a liar. It's proven in these emails. And then I'm like, what is the proof that Fauci's a liar? And they said, on page 2912, Fauci says that masks don't work and they don't do anything and we don't need them. And then you scroll there. And it's from March 2020, where there's already a recorded interview of Fauci having said, masks don't work and we don't need them. So how is it in an email any different than on video? In fact, the video is better. And that's the best they got. And I didn't read all 3,000 pages. Some of them are funny. I read one where someone had like a four-paragraph thing about their organization. They're like, Dr. Fauci, our organization has been running for 20 years and we're the leader in treating people with muscular dystrophy and blah, 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 or whatever. Would you be able to speak virtually at our event for 15 minutes? And he just replies, no. Except that's not exactly what happened. He replied no, but he sends all of his responses to his assistant. And then his assistant probably crafts some nice message that says, thank you for your great invite, Dr. Fauci, right? Here's another email Dr. Fauci got. Dear Mr. Fauci, we were really wondering over here in Europe why you don't take a dedicated opinion of COVID-19 and share your opinion at the daily briefing to the extent of your personal beliefs. We really expect you to oppose the president wherever you have a different opinion, which we believe is based on facts. Please consider our request and don't let the president keep spreading his lies to the people of the United States. We would really appreciate watching you on briefings, telling the nation the truth that is based on your experience straight to the point. He forwards it to his assistant. Please respond as appropriate. Now, my favorite part of the entire Fauci emails is, of course, the one that everyone's already seen. It's on page one. It's the first email. And it's Dr. Fauci basically going, not even basically, it's Dr. Fauci saying, I do not understand why you're asking me to review this. Is this an FYI? And that's what you should respond to everything at work. If anyone goes, will you review this for me? Go, I do not understand why you are asking me to review this. Is this an FYI? Fauci. Don't understand why you're asking me to review this. Well, so you guys go to Walmart. I went to Walmart. There were no terrorists, no shooters, and there were no signs about masks. I am pretty sure I looked everywhere and I couldn't see one. Masks are over. COVID's over. And I thought it was going to go on forever. And it's apparently not. Masks are done. Now, you don't have to wear them anywhere. No one's going to chase you through the store anymore. So that's it. Except for CNN saying cases of a dangerous COVID-19 variant are rapidly increasing in the U.S. Oh, no. Oh.
Reopening today, it means most restrictions like capacity limits, social distancing, mask requirements will end for those fully vaccinated. Dan Simon is in San Francisco this morning. Good morning, Dan. Most, not all, restrictions going away. What stays?
So this is the California.
First of all, it is a big milestone.
This is the news on the California reopening.
San Francisco Chronicle, when the stay at home went into effect, we're going back to March 17th, 2020. You can see the headline there. Look at the headline today. Grand reopening day as virus loosens grip. Now, what is changing? Now, it can be a little bit confusing. So let's go through some of these.
Now, all they say on the news headline is California reopens, California reopens, California. And then you read the article and it says California reopens for the vaccinated. Which, what can that possibly mean? Well, we'll get to that shortly.
Fully vaccinated, Poppy, you can pretty much go anywhere without a mask, indoors and outdoors. But if you're unvaccinated, you're still asked to wear the mask indoors, but it's going to be on the honor system. Now, businesses, they can still require the mask at their own discretion, but you have the big stores like Apple, Costco, Safeway saying that they're not going to require anyone to wear a mask.
But blah, blah, blah. You guys all know this. You watch the news, too. With concerns that it could become the dominant strain soon, medical experts are underscoring the importance of vaccination. I'm worried about those who are unvaccinated, Surgeon General Vivek Murthy told CNN. It's rapidly increasing in the United States. This is the variant that they're arguing for, which I knew was going to happen 15 months ago. I'm like, okay, we're going to get through this. It's going to have to reach some sort of immunity level. Because people won't believe, like, if the CNN ticker just keeps going up and up and up and it hits, like, 400 million people who have COVID, well, that's more people than I think are in the U.S. So it's going to be like, well, that doesn't make any sense. So they're going to have to shift. They have to shift and they have to say, oh, no, it's the variant. Now the variant. In fact, you can be infected 20 times with the variant. Whatever. Well, we'll see. Maybe nothing will happen. Been wrong before. As California reopened this week, freeing people fully vaccinated for COVID-19, Gavin Newsom signaled the state would soon introduce the electronic vaccination verification program. It's going to be called the Digital Health Certificate. It's been a hotly debated issue. Opponents raise privacy and equity concerns, while supporters say the digital certificate will enhance public safety and speed economic recovery. The Biden administration has said it will not develop a federal vaccine passport system, but allow the private sector or local jurisdictions to develop verification systems that require proof of vaccination at their own discretion. Newsom worded his announcement carefully Monday. It's not a passport. It's not a requirement. It's just the ability now. It's not an requirement now. It's just the ability now to have an electronic version of that paper version. So you'll hear more about that in the next couple of days. Working on someone's laptop today at work. He opens his laptop to show me his vaccine cards falls out. And he's like, oh, been looking for that. There is not really much tracking. So if you got vaccinated and you just got that little paper card, you're not in the system. You're not in the California system. So you got to go get it again in California or something. So we're going to have to be tracking this when you have to download the app and prove that you're a vaccinated person. I found this funny. America's worker shortage is real. It's getting worse by the day. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce on Monday announced a nationwide initiative to address the worker shortage in the U.S. We haven't had very much funny news, huh? We've just been having, like, here's the politics. The initiative, called America Works, aims to mobilize industry and government to swiftly address America's deepening worker shortage crisis. So if you click on over to the uschamber.com, I don't know why it's not .gov or whatever, but oh, I guess chambers are like private organizations, right? The talent is out there if you know where to look, blah, 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 blah. America's facing a double dose of the workforce challenge. There are too many people without jobs, and there are too many jobs without people to fill them. Too many businesses can't grow, compete, and thrive. Through the America Works Initiative, we're working to solve these issues. We're helping employers like you across the country develop and discover the talent you need. Which is cool. But then I was like, America Works? That sounds familiar. America Works is a landmark jobs program created by Frank Underwood from House of Cards. The ultimate aim of the legislation is to create full employment across the United States, with Underwood desiring its scope to be as wide as that of the New Deal. So they named the America Works initiative from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce after the House of Cards fictional America Works. I thought that was funny. Speaking of House of Cards, Kevin Spacey will return to the cinema in a film about a man wrongly accused of sexual abuse. That's curious. Kevin Spacey has booked his first film role since sexual assault allegations surfaced nearly 4 years ago. It was 4 years ago. And then he had like two or three cool YouTube videos. One where he poked at a fire and then he turned around and gave us a speech. Like he had that fire poker, which people normally do to move wood around, but all he did was continuously stab the log. And then at the end of the video, he turns back and he just stabs the flaming log. And it doesn't make any sense because that's not how you move wood around in a fireplace. The Italian film called L'Uomo Che Dizengo Dio. I can't pronounce that. Oh, wait, but they give me the translation. Or The Man Who Drew God will be directed by Franco Nero. It will shoot in Italy and also star Nero's wife. I'm very happy that Kevin has agreed to participate in my film. I consider him a great actor, and I can't wait to start the movie. Spacey's not commenting on the role. Blah, blah, blah. Spacey parted ways with Netflix House of Cards after at least 20 young men reported alleged sexual misconduct by Spacey at the London Theater. So, we're going to have a Kevin Spacey movie, and that's it. Guys, I've only been doing the show for like 50 minutes, but I'm out of news. What does everyone want to talk about? I just sped through it. It was cool. Now we can talk about how we post the show. We have to find a photo that went with something of the show, but I don't like it to be something about the intro photo. Now, my intro photo, I usually like to make something that is, I don't know, sort of related to something that's happened recently, or maybe it is something that happened to me, but I don't give it any pay. I don't usually pay attention to it during the show. Now, sometimes I do. I guess it's 50-50. A lot of times there's an intro photo. So people on the news, on the video version of the show will come into the stream, come into the chat for about 5-10 minutes before the show starts. Right? And there will be just a photo on the screen. Could be anything. Sometimes it's Biden with his mask on. Sometimes it's, I don't know, my arm dripping blood. I don't think that's ever happened. But then I'll just leave that up and then I'll just go right into the show for story, and I won't even sometimes say what the image was. Right? Other times I'll be like, here's a picture of Kim Jong-un and he's photoshopped skinny. So he looks evil. Anyway, today's album art, today's intro image, not album art, was of a crypto locker program, because that's been in the news a ton recently. All these places getting crypto locked, right? McDonald's, The Pipeline, you name it. Other things that happen. Basically, a hacker will email you and be like, oh man, there's a very important file. Can you click this link? And you click the link and you type in your password, and all of a sudden, the hackers are into the system. And this has been going on for years, right? I don't know, probably 10 years. Crypto lockers have existed. But it's just hitting the news recently because of the pipeline stuff. And I don't think any airlines have been hit recently, but stuff like that. And the government's always like, we got to do something about these crypto lockers. Is this going to be the next COVID? Right? Where they're just scaring everyone over cybersecurity, which I think probably is a good thing. Oh, wow. Imagine if the next COVID was a computer virus and everyone was telling everyone else, you got to have a strong password. This is important. If you don't have a strong password, then you're going to get hacked. You have to have a strong password. And this is what I tell people all the time. And then your mom went on Facebook and you were like, and they were like, the government's trying to tell me I need a strong password, but that's really just fascism and control. And my password is still going to be my dog's name and my daughter's age. And it's just going to change every year. It's going to be, you know, RIFO 20, RIFO 21, RIFO. And I don't believe in the government saying that I need a strong password because the computer virus isn't real. Man, I would be annoyed. That must be how mask people feel. Oh, well. Anyway, I was thinking about this crypto thing, and I was wondering if, okay, is the government going to use this crypto locker fear thing to further restrict internet in some way? Fine, because people are scared of this. Audit all your passwords and tell you have to send your password to them first to make sure it's good enough. This has been News with Nick for June. In a couple days, it's Juneteenth. I mean, technically, isn't it Juneteenth now? Wouldn't 13th through the 19th be June, like a whole week of Juneteenth, or they only celebrate it on the last day? I don't know what it is. It's apparently the Freedom Day, and I'm not sure how to wish anyone a happy Juneteenth. So happy to you, listener, Juneteenth. But if I see a darker-skinned person, do I just go, happy Juneteenth to you, to that person? Because I'm basically just saying, I recognize you're black. And I'm not sure if that's, like, appropriate. Because I thought we were just supposed... Or do I say happy Juneteenth to everyone? What if you say happy Juneteenth to... I don't know. Just the cashier. The cashier's like, but I'm white. I'm like, So? I don't know. Anyway, head on over to newswithnick.com and message me on the Facebook. Sorry, this is such a boring show. But we'll pick it up next week, next month. I'm moving again. Off to more undisclosed locations. But life's crazy. You know, got to pick up and move every 2 days when you're homeless and you burn down your house by putting ammunition in a crock pot and turning it up. But didn't correspond with the shooting because he accidentally turned the crock pot to low, not high. And you're like, why is the fire department not speeding to my house? Oh, I forgot the freaking I put it in a crock pot, not a pressure cooker. Whoops. Bye.